Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. I'm Brian, that's Dylan, and we have some really good movies to review, and I don't think we have any real bad ones this time. The worst one we got is probably Craven.
Yeah, probably Craven.
Before we do, I have a lot of news to talk about. Yes. So, the first one, there's a new movie coming out, Novocaine, I think is what it's called, with Jack Quaid, the guy from The Boys. He's basically playing like a vigilante who has like a disorder where he can't feel pain.
Oh, I seen the trailer for that.
It looks really good, don't it?
I didn't watch the full trailer.
No, it looks really good. And then one that I saw this morning that I am so excited about, it's so off the wall crazy. It's made by A24, who has a reputation of making off the wall movies. Death of a Unicorn, starring Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega. Apparently in the trailer, they hit a unicorn and they don't want to call it a unicorn, and it has like healing properties, but it's like a monster, and it's advertised as a horror movie. It looks so good. The tagline was poke around and find out. It was really funny. And then we got news that Malcolm in the Middle is coming back officially, confirmed by Bryan Cranston. I can't remember the lady whose name who plays Lois. And Frankie Muniz himself.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. There's a lot of shows I don't like. There's a lot of shows that I want to come back, but I'm just really disappointed when they do, because they come back with like this political charge. I don't want that for Malcolm in the Middle.
I don't either. Malcolm in the Middle was one of my childhood shows. I still watch it today on a loop. I'm excited, but I'm skeptical. Very skeptical. Okay, and the next thing is, I think I sent you a link to this, or I may have told you about this. Game of Thrones getting a video game. How do you feel about that? Long overdue is what I feel like.
Depends on how they do it.
I have full faith they're going to do it justice. I saw the trailer. Looks really good. I'm so excited. We also have, you told me about this one, Austin Butler is the lead in the new Psycho movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He is good.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything with him in it.
Really? He was Elvis.
I know he played Elvis.
He was a great Elvis. He played in The Bike Riders. He was the best part of that movie. Him and Tom Hardy, best part of that movie. And
I would say so. They was the main characters.
Yeah, but I mean, normally like you like the story to be good, or like even the story was not that good. And I'm just saying they stole the show with every scene they were in. Like, and he played a convincing, like, tough guy.
Yeah.
This one I'm not really excited about. Barbie 2 is in the works with the original director returning. We knew that was coming because it was a sensation. But I didn't like the first one. I hated the first one, actually. Like, a lot.
I never watched it.
I didn't think you did. But I watched it just because it was all the craze, and I wanted to rate it on my Letterbox. And that's some time I'll never get back. It was all about... Well, we'll talk about that later because it was all stupid. We might review that when the second one comes out. I might make you. But Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, they are starring in a new movie. Apparently they liked working together so much they're in a new movie. It's called Boy Band, and it's about boy band members coming together as middle-aged men. Pretty funny.
Yeah, that'll be funny.
That'll be really funny. Anything with them in it, I don't care if it's a commercial. I'm going to watch it a million times. They were so good in Deadpool and Wolverine. One of my favorite movies this year was Deadpool and Wolverine, I'm sure.
I love that movie.
Yeah. I know back when we done the episode on it, we talked about it a little bit. I said it was a little overhyped. I still so much love for that movie. Hayley Atwell is coming back as Peggy Carter for Doomsday. We don't know if she's come back as Captain Carter or just like a
variant
or whatever. But we do know that Chris Evans is also coming back. So it could be like them being pulled out of the past, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. But Chris Evans has also been confirmed, but they made it very clear when they confirmed he's coming back that he is not Captain America. They said that Anthony Mackie will be the Captain America in Doomsday.
Okay.
So, Maybe they're giving the Robert Downey Jr. treatment. Maybe he's going to be playing.
I still don't. I'm kind of convinced that Robert Downey Jr. They're just saying he's Dr. Doom.
I'm convinced he's playing like Superior Iron Man or something, or the comic book where he is. There is a comic where he does become Doom. Like, but I still think he's Tony Stark. I don't think he's Victor Von Doom. I don't think they'd do that. If they do, then I'm gonna lose hope for. I'm losing more and more hope for Marvel by the projects that are announced and by the news that's coming out. And yeah, that'll be bad. Also, we have here, since we are talking about Kraven this episode, it'll be our last movie we talk about. Is it our last movie? Or is Carry On our last movie?
No, Carry On.
Carry On, okay. Well, Kraven's in this episode, and since we're talking about this, I'll go ahead and give a stat on it that's in the news. Kraven had the worst box office weekend out of all the Sonyverse villains.
Okay, so a lot of people are saying that means Mad. I haven't seen Madam Web, so I can't speak on this, but what I will say is that I don't think that means that Madam Web was better. I will just say that the Sonyverse movies are just always so disappointing and bad.
People gave up hope on them.
Yeah, nobody cared to go watch it.
No, I mean, that's a really good point. As someone who did watch Madam Web, I am a Madam Web defender. I thought it was a great movie. Don't wrong, it had its problems, it had its flaws, but I've really enjoyed it. Like, I had a great time watching it, better time than I did Kraven. But it had an $11 million opening weekend with a budget of $130 million. Lost a lot of money.
Yep.
And the last bit of this news, now this whole portion of news we got here, we got more pictures of Daredevil Born Again. At this point, they might as well give us the show with how many leaks and shows and or how many leaks and pictures and trailers and everything else they're giving us on it. We basically know what the show's about now.
It's about Daredevil.
I mean, you know it. Shut up. But
is it not about Daredevil?
Nope. Plot twist. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. If it wasn't.
Daredevil's in the show for like 5 minutes.
He's in it for one episode. But some movie news I also want to jump into, because our last episode was our DC deep dive. There's a lot of announcements for DC this past week. They updated the film schedule. So Wolverine, Superman, we're getting July 11th. Everyone already knew that. July 11th, it's been released. We get a trailer tomorrow. If you are interested in a reaction for the trailer, I will be reacting to it on TikTok. Maybe we can do that together.
Maybe
we can sit down and film a reaction to the trailer. Super excited for that. And then June the 26th of 2026, we're getting Supergirl.
2026?
Yep. So Superman's going to be the only DC movie come out this year.
Really? Yeah.
Yep.
I'd say they'll do shows. And
yeah, stuff. Yeah, they'll do filler shows, and that goes back to what we were saying about James Gunn. He's not greenlighting anything until they're done.
Until it's written.
Yeah. Then we're getting on 9/11 of 26, so there will be multiple DC projects that year. We're getting a Clayface movie. And here's the thing, it's produced by Matt Reeves, but it is not part of that DC universe. It's part of the DCU.
Okay, so that's what all the talk about earlier was.
Yep. And I'm all for that. That is my most anticipated DC property coming up now. It is.
I don't really know. I'm kind of getting tired of all these villain movies.
I don't know. As skeptical as I was on DC, and as openly as you was, you think you'd give it a chance, and I wouldn't.
I'm going to give it a chance.
I'm so excited.
I'm getting tired of these villain movies.
Yeah, but we ain't really seen one by DC yet, have we?
Joker.
Other than the Penguin and Joker.
Yeah.
One of them was a success, one of them was a bomb. And arguably, one half of it was a bomb.
I hated both of the Joker movies.
I know you did. I loved the first one, hated the second one. And the second one made me hate the first one. But Clayface is being marketed as a horror-themed movie. With very heavy horror-themed aspects, because it is written by Mike Flanagan. who has a insane amount of horror critics, such as Dr. Sleep, Hush, Gerald's Game, Oculus,
Ouija. Alan Tudyk's supposed to, he's the guy who voiced Clayface in Harley Quinn. He's supposed to come back and voice him again.
Well, then that's our Clayface, more than likely.
Yeah, no, he's in the Superman movie, I'm pretty sure.
Is he?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I'm not positive. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. But yeah, to have a horror guy backing it, the only problem for me with this is those are not my favorite horror movies. Didn't give a crap about Dr. Sleep. Hush was good. I liked Gerald's Game, but it's not a real... That's more of a thriller than a horror. Oculus, probably the best one out of all his credits. Ouija was trash. So I'm going in skeptical about who's writing it, but I have full faith in Matt Reeves' vision for it. And then 10-2 of 26, we're getting the Batman Part 2, Matt Reeves, but it is rumored to be postponed to 2027. That's not confirmed yet. And then we have 6-30 of 28, 2028, they're releasing the Dynamic Duo animated movie. It is an animated movie that will be telling the story of Nightwing and Jason Todd together.
Okay, so Batman, the Brave and the Bold is going to have Damian Wayne?
Yep. So my thinking is, the only reason that I didn't add Brave and the Bold to this list is because they didn't give any kind of updates on it. It's still going to get its normal release date, to my knowledge. I don't know what that release date is. So by that, I guess that means that since Damian Wayne is going to be the one in Brave and the Bold, it's going to tell us that all the Bat family has already been established. I guess the Red Hood has already went through his thing, like Nightwing's already went through his thing. Tim Drake's already been Robin. I don't like that. I wish they would have told individual stories about these guys and would let us see the build up of the family.
Well, you just said that's what they're going to do with Nightwing and...
Yeah, but it's not like confirmed. It's being marketed as a coming of age film, so I assume it's going to be a backstory.
Yeah, probably.
I hope it is. If it's not, then that's dumb. But if it is, that could work. James Gunn also said that Mr. Terrific is going to play a big part in the plot of the new Superman movie.
Mr. Terrific. Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know a lot about that character. He was in Crisis on Infinite Earths. But he had small parts.
Okay.
Because there was a part where she was like, she said Mr. Terrific, and he's like, oh, call me, whatever his name was. I don't know a lot about that character. I'm not even going to pretend like I do. So I don't know how I feel about that, but that just goes back to the point he can't do a solo movie. I mean, we knew that it was going to have a plethora of
characters. Well, I feel like he's definitely going to open this universe up a lot quicker.
Yep. But I kind of breezed through that movie news because I did want to get into the reviews. But that's basically it. And yeah, any comments, concerns,
no
complaints, any of that?
No.
Okay. So first movie that we're going to get into today. I am so excited about this movie. I really enjoyed it. Ransom. You picked this movie.
Yep. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
We agree. I think we're going to agree on every one of these movies because we were communicating through us watching them, and I think we are going to agree on a lot of the ratings.
Yeah.
4.5 out of 5 for Ransom for me as well.
Yeah.
What'd you like about this movie? Tell me.
The plot of the entire movie had me interested. Mel Gibson trying to figure out how to get his son back from these kidnappers.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know why he's being kidnapped other than that he has money.
Right.
Or who it could have been. Because at the beginning of the movie, it sets a tone that Mel Gibson, he's a rich guy. He's paid some people off to do some things.
Yep. He has gotten rich in kind of a wrong way.
He didn't get rich in a wrong way. Right. He did something...
He wronged somebody with all the money he got. Like, yeah. He paid him off. And He thinks that that's what the person is connected to son. Absolutely. The tension in this movie, it is a thrill ride. Like, I at one point turned it off to finish it the next day because I didn't ever view movies like this until becoming a dad, because this is my worst fear.
Yeah.
The whole time in the movie where they have the boy bound to the bed and or the little boy, like, at the end of the movie pisses himself because he can hear the kidnapper's voice. Like, that is my worst fear.
Yeah.
Like, if something were that, I can have that to my son. Like, that is my absolute fear. Yeah. And that was hard to watch, but Mel Gibson is fantastic.
Yeah. And Gary Sinise is really good. Gosh. I always love both of those actors.
Absolutely. Gary Sinise, I don't remember. You may be able to jog my memory, but I don't think I've ever seen him as, like, a real villain before.
No, he's in a couple of things. I can't think of anything.
But he is a great villain in this.
Yeah. Just his whole, the whole planning of everything.
Yep.
Like, how thorough he is and everything with how it's going. One of the things I really loved about the movie, but was when he finally got thrown off, when Mel Gibson threw him off, because he was ready to go pay the ransom. He went to pay the ransom. He's like, "All right, I give you the money. You give me my son's address, where he's at." He shows up there. The guy doesn't know what's going on. The FBI shows up, shoots the guy, and Mel Gibson's like, "They're not going to give my son back, no matter what."
Yeah, the moment when he starts putting the pieces together. Yeah.
And he's like, he goes to the news station. He's like, starts talking to him through the news. He's like, "This is the $2 million you asked for it.
You'll never see
this. Yeah, you'll never see a dime of this. So I'm putting a bounty on your head for $2 million.
Which I 100% agree was the right move.
Yeah.
For context, Mel Gibson's son gets kidnapped. He's held for ransom. Hence the title. The Gary Sinise is the mastermind behind it, and he has a group of people working for him. But Gary Sinise is a cop, so he has kind of like some insight on it.
Yeah.
Whenever he goes to get his son back, he realizes he's not able to get his son back because Gary Sinise was talking to him and told him that he will give him an address once he delivers the money. He went to deliver the money. The guy had no idea what he was talking about an address. He puts it together. His son's a dead man going to be dead.
Whether he pays or not.
Whether he pays or not, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yes, that was the turning point of the movie.
Yeah.
Like because Gary Sinise was in control the entire movie.
Yeah, the entire time up until he put the ransom out, he was in complete control.
And then he just flips it.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. And I paused
it. And then Gary Sinise tries to go through the wife, and then he smacks her around a little bit while wearing a ski mask, and then he goes out and he's like, "I'm now doubling my bounty to $4 million.
Yeah, and he gets scared. Like,
yeah.
He does a good job of scaring Gary Sinise's character so much that, like, he panics and kills his entire crew.
Yeah.
Like,
Before we go to that, something I really wanted to talk about. Like, so after he doubled the bounty, Gary Sinise called again to, like, try and get him to drop it or he's going to kill his son. They got to a big screaming match. He's like, "You don't think I'll kill your son? You don't think I'll kill your..." He shoots and right beside his head and makes Mel Gibson and his mom, not Mel Gibson's mom, but and the kid's mom,
yeah,
and think that he's dead.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my God, the grief that he is going through, that he just possibly killed his son by not paying.
If that was me, like, he goes out on the balcony, just like console his wife and everything.
I thought he was about to try and jump.
I would have. If that had been me and I would have thought I got my son shot, I would have jumped off the balcony.
Yeah.
Like, that was rough. But... yeah, that was one of the best parts of the movie because, like, he's calling his bluff. Like, he's like, "You ain't going to do it." And he knows that he can't kill his son because then, like, it'll be an even deeper investigation. He'll have nowhere to hide.
Yep.
So his only solution is kill his crew and make himself look like the hero.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does. I paused it a few times. I thought that was Mark Wahlberg. I paused a few times. I thought it was Mark Wahlberg.
You don't know who Donnie Wahlberg is?
I know who Donnie Wahlberg is, but I thought it was...
You know who it is now.
No, I knew who it was before.
No, you didn't.
From Saw.
No, you probably thought that was Mark Wahlberg, too.
Yeah, I did. The whole movie I was calling, but no. Through Saw, that's the only reason I know Donnie Wahlberg, to be honest with you.
He's great in Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods? I've never seen that.
It's a cop show. It's got Tom Selleck in it.
Ooh, I've never seen that. I watched the show they had for a little while.
Wahlburgers, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was Mark Wahlberg through most of the movie.
I seen somewhere that they're supposed to do a movie together, Mark Wahlberg and Donnie Wahlberg.
Have they not done a movie together?
No, they've never done a movie together.
You'd think. Like, you don't do your movies with your brother. Having him jump, the part where they had him jump in the pool to see if he's wearing a wire or not, that was really smart, but he knew that because he was a cop.
Yeah.
So, one thing about movies like this, like older movies that are really good thrillers and action movies, stuff like that, the villain has to be good. The villain is a make or break for these kind of movies. Gary Sinise is a fantastic villain you love to hate. And his death at the end.
Oh, before we get to that, I just want to say when he kills his crew... And he's, like, trying to claim the reward. The fucking balls on this guy.
Right.
To, like, come a day early to his home and, like, yeah, can I just get that because I don't want to be on the news and stuff.
Yep.
I think that's where he lost right there.
100%. Because if he would have never been in the home, the kid would have never heard his voice.
Well, the kid could have still heard his voice and stuff on the...
On the news or anything.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have been able to prove nothing.
Right. And... The moment where Mel Gibson puts that together, because he sees his son scared to death. And it's not like, oh, what are you afraid of? No, he's like, that's why he's afraid. Like, he knows in his mind, like, the kidnapper is sitting right here. Like, that was awesome tension in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. What would you do in that situation? Like,
well, it was New York, so it couldn't have been shot. But he's rich. He could have had a gun.
I'd have jumped over the table at him. Shot and all. Jumped over the table. But the way they handled the death at the end was awesome.
Yeah.
Him getting shot down in the street like a dog.
Yeah, that's something else. The FBI agent. Right when Mel Gibson shot him, the FBI agent took two shots right after him. I'm thinking that's so that Mel Gibson doesn't have to get involved.
Right.
And...
The FBI agent was a dude. He was a homie.
Yeah,
like because he admitted to paying the guy off. It was a whole thing where like, did he do it? Did he not do it? And then like he's like, I paid that guy off. I did it. Like I have enemies, and he was like, you know, like this is not confidential. And he was like, I know. And he even said, I'll quit my job with the bureau and be a private investigator for you.
Yeah,
like I will personally work for you. Like, he was the dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was honestly a fantastic movie. Have you seen this one before? Is this your first time watching it?
I watched it a long time ago when I was younger.
Okay.
I don't remember it that well. I was like, I probably shouldn't have been watching it at this age, but I was like 6 or 7.
Honestly, that I've watched these kind of movies when I was that young too. I think that's where our love of movies come from. I had no idea this movie existed. And I love Mel Gibson. I'm on a task right now to finish every one of his movies. So that is my journey I'm doing right now. Lethal Weapon, some of my favorite movies.
Yet another great movie I've given you.
Listen, it's not my fault. Some of these movies I really think you'll enjoy and you don't.
You give me horror spoofs.
I don't give you all horror spoofs.
A lot of them.
All right. My New Year's resolution will be to give you good movies I think you'll like.
Thank you.
But you have anything else you want to say about this one?
I don't. When he was killing his crew, I don't think he was going to kill the girl until she shot him.
Yeah, no, I don't think he was either. I think he had every intention of letting her live.
Yeah.
But she saw it happen and she shot him.
Yeah, but her dying... Like, made it even easier for him to get away had he just not gone to the house.
Right.
Like, she used to work for Mel Gibson.
Yep. That, they were starting to kind of put it together there. But I don't think they ever would have figured out he was involved in it unless that kid freaked out like that.
Yeah.
He messed up, like you said, coming early. If he would have just been patient, he would have got away with it.
Yeah.
But great villain. Well, one thing I don't really like, I get that he's rich and he's wanted the money, but like he really didn't have any motives to really not like Mel Gibson's character. He just saw a dollar sign and was like, going for it. Like, and to me, that's the scariest.
No, he said the reason the dollar sign was the reason he did it, but one of the other reasons he picked Mel Gibson was because all the news and stuff about him paying that guy off. Like, it was never proven. He says, you pay, so I know you'll pay.
Right.
If you want your son back, I know you'll pay.
Yeah, and but so again, money was just the motive.
Yeah.
But like, to me, to have no motive, just money, that's the scariest kind of villain. Just about.
Yeah.
That is really good. A solid 4.5. I almost gave it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved this movie. Fan freaking tastic. Highly, highly recommend it. But.
Now we're
moving on
to Kraven.
Kraven. I am so excited to talk about Kraven. Before we start, you want to do a spoiler free?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, before we do, hit me with your rating.
3.5. Not 3.5, but 3 out of 5.
Same, 3 out of 5. This was a great movie. We'll do spoiler free first. You want to hit spoiler free? You want me to?
You go ahead.
Okay. So, fantastic movie. The story was a little bit everywhere. Like that, I don't think that's too big of a spoiler. Like, it's really not diving into plot details. But the story was, in my opinion, roughly written. It jumped around a lot, I feel like. Not time-wise, but just story-wise. I didn't feel like it had a solid idea of what it wanted to be. But with that being said, the reason that I gave it such a high rating, I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is perfect as Kraven. I think the action sequences were so much fun. Like, there was a lot of action sequences in here that you were just like, all right, I've seen that. All of them are in the trailer. All of them are in the trailer, just about.
Not really. Just really the only one is...
I shouldn't have said that. We'll get into spoilers with that. Yeah. We'll talk more about it. Yeah, you're right. There are some that aren't, but there are a lot of stuff that happened that you're like, I think I've seen this before, but still so much fun to watch. I absolutely didn't... It's not my favorite out of the Sonyverse. It's actually one of my least favorites, but that I'm a Sonyverse defender, so that doesn't say much for me. Like, still one of my favorite movies to come out. So, hit me with yours.
I really like this movie. I had it higher right after I watched it, but after thinking on it for a little bit, I dropped the rating.
Yeah, that recency bias.
Yeah. So, I dropped it down to a 3, mainly because of bad CGI and comic inaccuracy.
Okay, that's fair. But, I mean, you had a good time with this movie, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed watching this
movie. I remember we getting out of the theater, and I said, we can collectively agree that was kind of bad, right? And you said, I really liked it. And I was, yeah. Okay.
Now, what this movie does is something I hate for movies to do.
You want to dive into spoilers before this, or is it going to be a spoiler-free?
It's spoiler-free.
Okay.
Sorry. Sort of.
All right, let's just dive into spoilers then.
Okay.
Spoilers ahead. Spoiler warning. This is your final warning, spoilers. So, go for it.
This movie does something that I hate for movies to do.
What'd it do?
It attaches a name to something that could have been completely different.
I agree.
It could have been a completely different story.
Yep.
Like.
Did not have to be Kraven.
Didn't have to be Kraven.
I see a lot of people... they were complaining, Kraven got powers. Kraven's kind of always had powers.
Yeah.
Like, not insane powers, but, like, abilities, yes.
Well, he's really supposed to be just, like, some guy.
Right, but there are, like, comic book iterations where he has powers. Don't quote me on this, because I'm not a huge Kraven comic reader, you know what I mean?
No, he's just a tough Russian guy who, like, breaks animals' wheels with his own.
That's another thing. They made him like a wildlife, like.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. Comic book inaccuracy. Like
he cared about the animals? No, he didn't. He's a hunter.
Yeah, he's a hunter. No, he forced them to do his bidding. Like,
yeah.
He trains them because he considers himself an apex predator.
That's my biggest complaint about this movie is, yes, that comic book inaccuracy, but that goes hand in hand with the fact that they made him a hero.
Yeah.
Like, with Morbius, you can say he slowly became a villain at the end, teaming up with Vulture and everything. Madame Web kind of fit her, like, comic book counterpart at the end. Kraven, I was hoping something would happen at the end to just break his will to turn him into a villain. No, he's a full-blown superhero in this movie.
Well, we kind of see that because by the end of the movie, like, he's pretty much taken down everybody he's wanted to take down.
Yeah.
Like, his dad, the Rhino, all those guys, he's taken them all down. And now he has nothing left. He is just Kraven the Hunter. And he puts on that vest and he sits down and he...
That's another thing. Do you remember seeing the trailer whenever he throws the torch up and he's in the vest and everything? That never happened in the movie.
Yeah, a lot of movies do that, though. Like, if you remember during Infinity War, like, when it had Thanos' army rushing towards the Avengers, in the trailers you could see the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the original is the Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
See, how it was supposed to work in Infinity War, we were supposed to see him turn into Smart Hulk.
Right. I remember seeing about that.
He busted out of the Hulkbuster because him and Hulk finally came to an agreement.
Right. I remember seeing that. What'd you think about the Rhino suit? Just tell me that.
That was my biggest complaint about the CGI.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the CGI on the Rhino was terrible.
I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't a good CGI. But
like, his eyes were just too bulgy and weird.
Don't get me wrong. They could have definitely done it better. But what else are you going to do, really? Like,
yeah.
I think that's the best CGI they could do for that situation. Like, it's a comic book accurate Rhino, other than him being trapped. I mean, normally in the comics, it's a big dude in a rhino suit.
His skin kind of looks like the Thing's skin. It doesn't really look like a protective hide. It just looks like he's made out of rocks.
Right. And the one little hole he had in his stomach or his chest, where they could stab him, that was like his one weakness. That was stupid.
Well, yeah, that was stupid.
I don't know. I'm just happy to see a rhino other than the mechanical rhino from TASM 2.
What? You have autism?
Then TASM 2, like The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
Like, did that throw you off for a minute? That's the only other rhino that we've seen, and this rhino is significantly better.
Yeah.
That
made me mad in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, that fight never played out.
Yeah.
Like, they made it out like that fight was going to play out in the trailer.
There was supposed to be an Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the Rhino design. Like I said, the CGI could be better. Could have definitely been better. It wasn't the worst, wasn't the best.
And then at the end, when the chameleon showed up,
that CGI, was bad CGI.
That was really horrible CGI.
I mean, the Rhino one, you can debate. Chameleon, you can't. That was bad. We could have made better CGI than that. Like
no. Also, something that made me mad about the chameleon, he doesn't change height.
Yeah,
he just changed his face, and he's still just that little scrawny guy.
Just changed the face, but he's like looking at Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's like, you know, there's like a 2-foot difference here.
Yeah.
Like you're not a very good chameleon. I don't like that either. Through the entire movie, they're calling each other by their, like, names. It's like, oh, he's like a chameleon. It's like, okay, that's a little hitting the hammer on the head right there.
But isn't in the comics his brother the chameleon?
Yeah, but, I mean, just to be like, oh, he's like a chameleon. Like, you just kind of, I know, everyone knows he's going to be chameleon. Like, why you got to, like, just hammer that home? And he keeps saying, I am the Rhino. Like, all their lines came across, like, very cheesy. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Aaron Taylor Johnson, what did you think about him in this movie? He's a good one.
Yeah, he's pretty good in this movie.
Russell Crowe, another one of the best parts of this movie.
I feel like had back in the days of Gladiator, he would have made the perfect
Kraven.
Yeah, he would have made the perfect Kraven the Hunter.
I agree. He's just too old now.
Yeah,
but I think Aaron Taylor Johnson done it great. What was with the Foreigner?
The Foreigner.
That's what they called him. The guy who had the weird power.
I have no idea.
I don't know about the character. I know nothing about no comic book lore on him that I have at all. I had in the movie. I did not understand what his power was. Did he stop time? Did he?
I think he is hypnotizing people.
Is he hypnotizing them? Yeah, like because that was so weird. Like it didn't even explain what his power was. It leaves it up for speculation, which I don't like. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe we're both missing something.
Yeah, I think he is just hypnotizing people. I think that. He was focused when he was about to kill Aaron Taylor Johnson. He was just focused on him, and then his would be maybe girlfriend shoots him in the face with an arrow.
It was such an anticlimactic battle at the end, too. I feel like
with those two,
yeah. The Rhino was good. Rhino was a good fight, but like with those two, yeah, it was kind of hyped up, and then it was just over.
Yeah.
The action scenes were a lot of fun. There were a lot of scenes where, like, you know, it showed him using, like, bear traps and just, like, knifing these people, going full out animalistic on them, jumping out of a skyscraper, chasing down a van on foot.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Most of these action scenes that were all seen in the trailer.
I can say that the bear scene and the bear trap scene and the rhino punching the truck was seen in the trailer. I can't think of anything else, though.
Everything was. Or it was showed in first looks. Like they showed us the first 8 minutes of the movie before 2 weeks before the movie came out.
I didn't see that.
You know, it was all over the internet. I don't know. I think they showed too much of this movie because they showed everything good. They showed their hand way too early. They even showed the scene, the car chase scene before it came out. And there was a scene where he's about to chase his car down. He sees him throw a cigarette down, and he's like animal senses, like sense the cigarette. Like, I thought he was going to like use that cigarette to find him or something.
Yeah, it just had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it just zoomed in on a cigarette. He's like, all right, like, why? Yeah, it had no.
I think it's just to show that he had supervision.
We've seen it before. Like, and I trust me, I get why he's killing poachers. I get that. Like, maybe it's because, like, he wants to protect, like, his animals, or maybe he wants to do the hunting there, or whatever. I can get behind him, like, hunting poachers. I can't get behind him, like, letting all these animals live. Like, that tiger jumping out at him, if this had been Kraven from the comic books, would have broke her neck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. They made him a tree hugger.
He could have just let it go. He was with, I guess, he could have just let it go and come back to it.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of the dialogue for this whole movie was cheesy. It lost significant points for me for not having any kind of post-credit scene.
Yeah, because the Sonyverse was done with this.
I still want a post-credit scene tomorrow movie. I expect it.
Well, now you got something unexpected.
Now I got something unexpected.
Yeah, this is the last Sonyverse movie.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's about time, really.
I'm a defender of all these movies. I love them all, but I agree. Because I feel like they had two movies to show a Spider-Man to build up a Sinister Six. But without Spider-Man showing up in any of them, just let this universe die.
Yeah.
I would like to see Tom Hardy come back as Venom. That's it. Maybe Morbius. I'd like to see Morbius again. Rest of them. I enjoy Madame Web. Let her go. Maybe Kraven the Hunter can play our variant. Or maybe Aaron Taylor Johnson can play our variant of Kraven the Hunter. But let the Sonyverse die.
Yeah.
But Kraven, 3 out of 5. You got anything else you want to say about it?
No, I'm good on it.
All in all, as much as we did say here and kind of crap on this movie, it's still a really good movie. I'm not mad I watched it. I will probably end up watching this a few more times.
Yeah, I really did enjoy watching this movie. It's absolutely just the reason I took it down as much as I did was the inaccuracy and the CGI.
Yeah. That's my biggest problem with it as well. I do have little nitpicks that you don't, but I nitpick everything, really. But those are my biggest problems, CGI and, the storytelling for me, too. The story jumped everywhere.
Yeah.
It didn't really know what it wanted to be for the most of the movie. But, honestly, this next movie, probably my favorite one to review on. Out of this. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a good movie.
You want to tell me what your rating is for Carry On, the new...
4.5 out of 5.
Same. We rated all these movies the exact same. 4.5 out of 5. Taron Egerton. I think I'm saying his name right.
I think it's Egerton.
Egerton? Could be. I don't know. You were also wrong about Cillian Murphy.
It's Killian, Brian.
I said that. Shut up.
It's Killian.
Shut up.
I don't know how many times you're going to get it wrong.
Shut up. Yes, this movie was fantastic. Can you do a spoiler free for me?
So Jason Bateman wants to get a package on a plane, and he's trying to make Taron Egerton do it.
Yep. What's your spoiler free review on this?
A lot of great suspense. High tension throughout most of the movie. Some of the characters I can really resonate with, or at least one of them. I really enjoyed this movie throughout it.
Yeah. I agree. Everything you just said. High tension, great thriller, great acting, great villain, great protagonist, great antagonist, great supporting actors, everything. The way they pace the story, great. Just everything keeps your attention to this movie. Very, very highly recommend. It's a new one out on Netflix. Just came out, and I think I would consider this one a Christmas movie, honestly. 4.5 out of 5. Definitely go watch this before we ruin it. It is so good, and you really don't know what's going to happen next. And that is one of the best parts about watching this, so... Before we do spoil it, definitely do yourself a favor. Go watch this movie.
Yep.
But with that being said, spoilers ahead for this one as well. Spoiler warning. All right. Give me some points this movie. What do you think?
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is the highway scene.
Where it's playing Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart. And then they're just like smacking into
the cars. The funniest thing was I was at work before I come home to watch this movie. I was at work just singing that song in my head the whole time. Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart.
That's a good one. That's a great scene. That is a fantastic, because like, so
the it's just
just rammed into everything. So this movie is... Taron Egerton, whatever his name is, he plays a TSA agent who is not really taking his job seriously, but on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, he now figures that it's about time to start taking his job seriously. He's got a baby on the way. So he asks his boss, hey, put me on like the scanners to scan like these bags and stuff. He gets put on the scanner.
He's doing all this so he can get a promotion.
Yes, get a promotion. He was rejected from the police academy. Jason Bateman plays like this terrorist smuggler guy. Well, he makes it clear he's not a terrorist of the whole movie, but he's just someone who does their bidding. But he goes to get a bag through the scanner, and it's a deadly nerve agent connected to like a thing that will disperse it all over the plane. So him asking his boss, he put him on the scanner, and it was supposed to be another man. So they had all this other man's information. They were going to like kidnap his family to make him do it. But with the sudden shift change, they didn't really know who this guy was. So they had to break into his house, get some information on him, try to use some leverage against him. And what he does is he sends an earpiece through the scanner so he can talk to him. He's like, my friend's going to come to your scanner. You're going to scan it through. And if you don't, we're going to kill your pregnant girlfriend, who also works in the same airport. Basically, just the movie. My God, Jason Bateman is a perfect villain in this movie. Like, I knew he had serious acting chops from Ozark, but to see him as a
he always plays like, no matter whether he's in a comedy or not, he always plays a smart, intellectual type dude.
Yeah.
And that's it's exactly what he is in this. He's just more serious.
Absolutely. He makes it clear he's not the guy who wanted to do the bomb, but he is hired to get the bomb on the plane, or nerve agent, whatever you want to call it. The highway scene we were talking about, so he placed a 911 call, but they see him place a 911 call, and he tells him over the earpiece, hang the phone up. He hangs the phone up, but that sends up red flags. So a TSA agent calls 911, but abruptly hangs up. They basically sent the cop in to look at it, and they sent somebody down from, was it Homeland Security or something?
Yeah.
And they were driving down the highway, and she gets a call, and the guy's like, hey, he says the Homeland Security agent's name is like, he's on his way to come see you. She's like, but I'm with him now. Like, that's what she's thinking, but she doesn't say that. And she just plays it off. She realizes the guy in the car is working with the people for the bomb. Like, so she pulls a gun on him. He speeds up to 70 miles an hour, and they're crashing down the highway to that song playing, blasting.
Yeah.
Awesome scene.
Last Christmas.
And you really don't know what's going to happen next to this whole movie. It keeps you on your toes, keeps you engaged, keeps you just really, you know, into this movie. Like, and this is one you have to sit down and pay attention to and make sure, like, it gave you enough backstory right off rip to make you care about those two characters.
Yeah.
Like, they're having a baby. He basically flunked out of the police academy. She wants him to take their life more seriously. All this great backstory helps with the fact that they are now in imminent danger and he has to get them out of it.
Yeah.
And he can't tell nobody what's going on.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest tension makers of this entire movie, is he has to do stuff and he can't explain why he's doing it.
Right, like he got his best friend fired.
Yeah, he got his best friend fired, had to pull a gun on his boss and everything.
Had to basically like hurt his girlfriend's feelings a lot.
Yeah, and then like super bad.
Super bad, and then just not tell her why. Because the guy was like, walk away right now. And he was like, he couldn't be like, oh, I'm sorry. Because he saw a sniper dot on her face.
Yeah.
And if he said something, they were going to shoot her. So he was like, I got to go. And like, just turn around and left. He said, not another word. And he had to turn around and leave, just leave her broken and shattered. And it was, yeah, one of the biggest tensioners in this movie was the fact that he can't tell nobody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the actors. This was an all-star cast. The Taron Egerton guy, Jason Bateman, Dean Norris, who played Hank in Breaking Bad, Theo Rossi, the van guy, he was in Sons of Anarchy, stuff like that. Just stacked with some talent.
I don't know. I haven't seen Theo Rossi in too much other than Sons of Anarchy.
He was in The Penguin.
Yeah, I know he's in The Penguin, but like he's just now recently starting to pop up more.
Yeah, but he's very talented.
Yeah.
The SoundCloud guy was one of my favorite additions to this movie.
SoundCloud? Oh, the guy
was like, check out my album on SoundCloud. That was hilarious because like the van guy at one point in the movie comes in to try to get his girlfriend and like put her in the van or kill her or something like that. And the SoundCloud guy is like, I'll handle this, and just runs up on him. He just straight up knifes him.
Yeah,
he's like just one quick, just and he's like bleeding out. It was really funny. It was just an all round perfect movie. Just about the only thing that I have a problem with is one that you mentioned at the beginning of the movie, or beginning of the before we start filming. If you want to tell me what that was,
who was behind it all?
That's it. That's my only problem with the movie.
Yeah,
who was the real villain in this?
It hints at like some type of
political thing.
Yeah, political figure.
Yeah.
I can't remember whether they said it was a senator.
It was a congresswoman, I think.
Congresswoman.
She was on the plane, but like she wasn't flagged because she was flying under her maiden name, and that's why nobody knew she was on the plane. But these people who made the bomb did know she was on the plane, so like it was to assassinate her and her family.
Oh. So, I don't know.
But like,
it is confusing about, like, all it said was it was, like, some type of mercenary group
yeah.
trying to...
I would have liked to get more information on that.
Yeah, is a terrorist group, a mercenary group trying to pin an attack on Russia.
To start like a war.
So they could get paid to go into battle.
Yeah, exactly. And I would have liked to have got some more information on that. A good motive, I guess, to get paid. Can we talk about the death of this villain?
Yeah.
That was a great death. It was very reckless.
Yeah.
How would you know that the nerve agent would be contained in this fridge?
It says airless lock on the side.
Still, I wouldn't have trusted it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
Because he throws him in this airlock, locks the door, but he breaks the nerve agent as he locks the door. So he's like, this nerve agent is, I can't remember what they call it, but like it makes you bleed internally, cough up blood, your skin peel. Like it was a horrific death for Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And he is ruthless through this entire movie. Like he is like, if I tell you to do something you don't, I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And he is a man of his word.
Yeah, he tried to warn that one guy and immediately killed him.
Yeah, immediately killed him. All around, fantastic movie and a really good Christmas movie because it does take place Christmas Eve. I think it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. You think this is a Christmas movie, but you don't think Die Hard is?
I never said it. I said Die Hard wasn't, but I'm on the fence about it now. I said that before we started filming.
You're just saying that because you want Carry On to be considered a Christmas movie. I think it's a Christmas movie, but you want it to be a Christmas movie. That's why you're changing your opinion on Die Hard.
Look, let me tell you what my opinion is. Carry On, I don't really care if it is or not is not considered a Christmas movie, but because there's not much for a debate because there's not a lot of Christmas themes other than it taking place on Christmas Eve. Die Hard, on the other hand, I can see the debate for Die Hard because it is more Christmas themed.
We got into this thing because our next episode we're doing all Christmas movies coming out near Christmas.
Yep. Should be the day after Christmas.
Yep.
But do you have anything else you want to say about this?
No, that is it.
Great movie. Probably my favorite one we reviewed. If they would have gave us more backstory on the villain, I would go to perfect score. This was a thrill ride that I was honestly not expecting it to be this good. And I'm really glad like it lived up to or exceeded my expectation.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman, he's a great villain.
Yeah, I really didn't expect this to be that good of a movie.
Me neither. I expected it to be decent. I didn't expect him to love it as much as I did.
Yeah, no, it is a great movie.
But that'll do it for this episode. Unless you want anything else you want to say.
No, that'll be it.
Our next episode will be our Christmas episode. We will be talking about my two picks and his two picks, which are Daddy's Home 2 and what's the other one I picked?
Better Watch Out.
Better Watch Out. And you picked
Santa Claus 2 and Die Hard.
So there you have it. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But, yeah, we will be reviewing those two next. We also have a gift exchange we'll be doing. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be all Christmas themed. We got some Christmas topics to be talking about, Christmas trivia. Really excited about that one. So, yeah. You have anything else you want to say?
No, that'll be it.
Like, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
All right. See you guys next week.
Later.